From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called A Contest for a Soul, part of this series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and verse 22. Have faith in God. Faith is the foot of the soul by which it can march along the road of the commandments. Love can make the feet move more swiftly, but faith is the foot which carries the soul. Faith is the oil enabling the wheels of holy devotion and of earnest piety to move well. And without faith, the wheels are taken from the chariot and we drag heavily. With faith I can do all things. Without faith I shall have neither the inclination nor the power to do anything in the service of God. If you would find the men who serve God the best, you must look for the men of the most faith. Little faith will save a man. But little faith cannot do great things for God. Poor little faith could not have fought Apollyon. It needed Christian to do that. Poor little faith could not have slain giant despair. It required great hearts armed to knock that monster down. Little faith will go to heaven, most certainly. But it often has to hide itself in a nutshell, and it frequently loses all but its jewels. Little faith says, It is a rough road, beset with sharp thorns and full of dangers. I am afraid to go. But great faith remembers the promise, Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so she boldly ventures. Little faith stands desponding, mingling her tears with the flood. But great faith sings, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And she fords the stream at once. Would you be comfortable and happy? Would you enjoy religion? Would you have the religion of cheerfulness and not that of gloom? Then have faith in God. If you love darkness and are satisfied to dwell in gloom and misery, then be content with little faith. But if you love the sunshine and would sing songs of rejoicing, covet earnestly this best gift, great faith.
Children's faith, if they like them, could die.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 4 through 12 of chapter 13. This passage records the beginning of the New Testament church's missionary outreach, carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. From the church at Antioch, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to carry the good news of salvation to the heathen cities of Asia Minor. They learned really quickly that the devil opposed their efforts in the person of a sorcerer named Elymas, who tried to prevent them from witnessing to the island's deputy, Sergius Paulus. It was the plain preaching of the pure word of God that brought the deputy to saving faith in Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called A Contest for a Soul.
We're living in a day when there is such a little knowledge of God's Spirit in power. Now, we don't need to go outside these four walls to criticize other people. You just have a good look at yourself, and I'll have a good look at myself. And my friend, we would need to be humbled in the dust before God. We're never going to do anything until we're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. You can have anything else. You can have everything else. If you don't have God's power, you have nothing. He was filled with the Spirit. And then what I like about this, he faced the enemy. Man, I like what it says, particularly of Paul, verse 9, filled with the Holy Ghost, he set his eyes in him. I'd love to have been there to see that. I think that must have been one of the most intense, soul-searching and withering looks that any man ever bestowed upon another. I'd love to have been there. I think I can see that dirty old apostate cringing and melting inside just at the very look of a man of God. Now, I want you to see how these two thoughts are joined. He was filled with the Spirit and then he faced the enemy. Now that's exactly opposite to what most modern-day teachers tell us about the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You see, in the modern holiness sort of movement, when people say they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they go soft in apostasy. There are big conventions. I don't know too much about the United States as yet, so I can't name places here. But there are big conventions across the United Kingdom. And there they all are filled with the Holy Ghost, so they say. And there they'll have ministers, and they're still in the World Council of Churches. They have ministers, and they're still members of denominations that have sold the past to the devil. But they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't fight the devil if he stood in their doorstep. They wouldn't raise a voice against an apostate if it was to save their life. Oh, they're filled with the Spirit. And this fullness of the Spirit, they say, would not allow them to indulge in controversy. It's time they read their Bible. For I want to tell you, when a man gets filled with the Holy Ghost, if there's one thing about that man, he's jealous for the name of the Lord of hosts. He's jealous for that holy name. And when that name is blasphemed, that man will not stand back and take it. He's bound to speak. It's impossible for a man filled with the Holy Ghost to sit back and hobnob with apostates and false prophets. He can't do it. I'm always told about good men who are still in the apostate denominations. There are no good men in apostasy as far as preachers are concerned. None of them. There may be saved men there. But the Bible says a good minister is a minister who fights the apostasy. That's what Paul taught Timothy. He's going to make his voice heard on these issues. And when the Spirit speaketh expressly about apostasy, the good minister of Jesus Christ is going to put his people in remembrance of these things. There are no good ministers in apostasy. He faced the enemy. May God fill us with the Holy Ghost and, like Jeremiah, make us men who will face the enemy. Men whose face will be like brass against the enemy, will be unflinching as we stand up against the devil. Now, of course, it's not only against the apostasy, but let me say this church has got to start to make an assault upon the kingdom of darkness. This church and its members have got to begin to get out there among the people, to get to where the devil is damning souls. We have got to have people who, like Paul and Barnabas, are going forward as soldiers and crusaders of the cross, who are saying, there's the enemy, there's the devil in that guise or that guise or that guise. We're going out there, we're going into the devil's territory, we're going to battle the devil in his own doorstep, and we are going to set about the job of winning souls for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did, filled with the Spirit, facing the enemy, and then, thank God, he fought the enemy by his word and by his work. I don't have time to take the words and works of Paul here in detail, but just let me say that I believe in straight talk. To hear the ecumenicals and the charismatics of this day, Paul should have said, oh, dearly beloved Elymas, my brother somewhat severed from me by different opinions, let us sit down and have an ecumenical conversation together. Let's see how we can talk this thing through. That's your ecumenical jargon. We have so much in common, Elymas. You believe in Jehovah, and I believe in Jehovah. Let's talk it over. Let's not talk about the things that divide us. Let's major on the things that unite us. The greatest load of balderdash and bunkum that ever came to the pulpits of Protestantism. Paul says, no ecumenical conversation. No dialogue with the devil. That's a principle of Scripture. God does not ever tell his people to dialogue with the devil. I'm here to fight the devil, not to dialogue with him. Notice what Paul said. This man called himself Bar Jesus. That is the son of Jesus, the son of Joshua, the son of salvation. Paul says, you're the son of the devil. Man, that's straight talk. I want to tell you, any man who keeps souls back from Jesus Christ, any man who does not believe this gospel, any false prophet, whatever his attainments and position, is a child of the devil. That's God's talk. Oh, that's not acceptable in this milk and watery age. Well, I'd rather be acceptable with God and be out of step with men than to be acceptable with men and out of step with God. Child of the devil. Then he called himself Elymas, which we are told is a word that in its Aramaic root means wise or to know. It actually means to know. But in its Hebrew root, it means to hide. And the two meanings came together in the name Elymas. He was a man who had the hidden knowledge. He was practicing the occult sciences. He was a sage. But Paul says, you're not wise, you're just full of all subtlety and all mischief. He was a Jew, but Paul says, you're an enemy of righteousness. He was a prophet, but Paul says, you're a perverter of the right ways of the Lord. So Paul fought the devil. Thank God he had the power not only to speak, but he had the power to do something. When Paul spoke, God acted. And that brings us back on our heels. I tell you, when men are filled with the Holy Ghost, when they speak, God acts. We have got to get to the place. There's absolutely no alternative for us if we're going to do the work of God. We have got to get to the place where when we speak, God will act. When we pray, God will answer. When we preach, God will honor it. When we witness, God will give the results. When we stand up against the devil, the Lord will blitz and blast the powers of hell. Paul spoke and God acted. Oh, may God give us that kind of power. Make us those kinds of people. Now then, finally, we have the sinner. You see the false prophet there. There's the devil. And there's Paul preaching Jesus Christ. And in the middle, there's Sergius Paulus, the Roman deputy. See his dilemma? Here's a man, and he's pulled in two directions. Here's a man, and on the one hand, the devil is exerting every pressure to bring him down to hell. And on the other hand, God is giving him the gospel opportunity. He's presenting to him the truth of Christ, and there is the influence of pulling him to heaven. There then you have the dilemma of this man, Sergius Paulus. Now, he showed some wisdom. First of all, he had a desire to know the truth. I read here and I find that Sergius Paulus called for Barnabas and Paul. In other words, he was a man, I think, who had seen through the heathenism. He had seen through the idolatry. He had seen the corruption and he hated it. In some ways, he reminds me of Cornelius, although he hadn't developed so well as Cornelius. But this man, inside, and I think this was the work of God, had a yearning to know the truth. And I've said this before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. When a man has an earnest, honest heart that says, I want to know the truth, and I'm willing to know the truth, and I'm willing to follow the truth, God will never leave that man in the dark. Don't care if he's a million miles from a preacher. God will never leave him in the darkness. Here was a man looking for the truth. There was Paul, there was Barnabas at Seleucia. There were ships going in all directions. They could have gone anywhere from that place. But they went to Cyprus. Why? Because God knew there was a man there who was looking the truth. And they were being sent to give him the truth. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, maybe you're like this man. You've tried the world. It doesn't satisfy. You've been in the corruptions of the world. And they sicken you. Oh, there's pleasure there. But it's like the apples of Sodom. Looks good on the outside. When you sink your teeth into them, they're just nothing inside. You're sick of the world. But yet the devil's exerting every pressure. Maybe he has done to you what he's done to this man. He has put somebody in close relationship with you. Somebody who has your confidence, and they're a child of the devil, and they're exerting every pressure to bring you down to hell. Well now, the Lord comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tells you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That His precious blood can make the foulest clean. That His Holy Spirit will regenerate the dead soul. That He will justify and sanctify and glorify. That He'll bring you finally to heaven. I tell you, you're in the middle. All the power of hell is exerted to pull you down to the devil in the pit. And the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to repent and be converted, to believe the gospel. That's the dilemma. Notice his decision. Verse 12. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Sergius Paulus, saved by the grace of God, he believed, he received Christ freely offered to him in the gospel. And let me say in closing this morning, we have these three characters in this meeting. Satan here. Oh yes, the powers of hell are just as real against you as they ever were against Sergius Paulus. The preaching of the Word of God, and in the middle, there's the sinner. Some of you here this morning not saved, pulled in two directions. Perhaps you want to go the way of the world, but you want to end up in heaven. You want to live with your ungodly companions, but you want to go to be with the saints of God. My friend, it doesn't work that way. Sergius Paulus believed. He was saved. He quit Bar Jesus. He quit the sorcery. He quit the devil's way. And he set on his way to glory. I tell you, had Sergius Paulus rejected, he'd have been lost for all eternity. It's one or the other. And every time the gospel's preached, every time you sit under the sound of the Word of God, there's a decision made. For Christ or against Him. To receive Him or to reject Him. To bow in utter repentance. Repentance that will break your pride and leave you in the dust before God. Or it will be the pride that leads you to say, I'm going my way. I will not have this man to rule and reign over me. It's one or the other. I wonder this morning what the decision will be. The decision of your heart has always been, and if God leaves you to your own heart, will always be, Christ's rejection. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But oh, I trust and pray God today that God will open your eyes that you'll see, that God will open your ears that you'll hear, and that God will open your heart that you'll receive Christ as He's offered to you in the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.